Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Joining me today, making his debut, a lad I know very, very well, rumoured him for years and years. He's definitely the longest in the shower. Now goalkeeping coach at Blackpool, the man himself, Mr. Tony Warner, making his debut. And with him is a lad I know very, very well. Never played with him for Ireland, no, or Liverpool, but known very well from living around here and doing the media, is Mr. Jim Beglin. We'll get stuck into the conversation in 2 minutes. Just a quick note to say that tickets are going fast for the end of season night out in Belfast, Dublin, and here in Liverpool. Obviously, the Belfast, Dublin gig is with myself, Steve McManaman, and Robbie Fowler. Pete McDowell is hosting the night. You can get all details for this and the Liverpool gig, which is on www.fivetimes.co. Have a look on there, see if anything takes your fancy. And if it does, and you're in Belfast and Dublin, come along and say hello to the lads. Right, we'll get stuck into it. I think the big question that I've got to ask first is, is it still on? Is it still winnable for Liverpool? Or do you think now it's gone with two games to go?
I think it's a big ask myself. I can't really see City stumbling within the next two games. But you never know. They've got a tough game on Saturday. I don't know, it's you know, it's probably Everton's incests. you know, looking across the park, you know, I think any result for them would be good results. But I think for, you know, professional pride, it's a hard place to go. You never know. You can't kind of give up, but it's going to be very, very difficult now.
Do you think, Jim?
I think it's for the players in the dressing room. They've still got to believe it's on. Yeah. I mean, obviously, before Liverpool play their next game, a lot will have happened. But Everton have beaten the tops. They've got a very good record at home against the top sides.
Yeah. You know, very good record at home against City.
Yeah, and against City. Well, they've beaten the Arsenal, beaten Manchester United, which is a big game with Moyes coming back, drew at Liverpool, beat Chelsea. So that kind of augurs well.
Do you feel they've run out of steam a little bit?
Yeah, a little bit, but I mean, you're obviously hoping there's going to be a reaction to what happened at Southampton. Yeah. I mean, I did the game against Man United and they were very good.
Yeah.
United weren't too clever. And yeah, it seemed to catch up with a little bit at St Mary's at the weekend. They were off the pace, conceding the own goal in the first minute. Just seemed to kind of knock them out of sorts. And they did look a little leggy. They did look a little tired. But I mean, they still have European football to play for. And it's not, by no means, they should get Europa League, but that's not even definite as yet. Yeah. So they have to find something. And I think the other thing, when Man City played at Liverpool a couple of weeks back, all the stats we get sent, I was looking through it, and I think before that game, City had won once on Merseyside in 20 visits. Right. So that's obviously 1 in 21 now. So
must be all the travelling they're doing.
So hopefully that will work in our favour again. You know, they've always found it hard at Everton. But the thing is now, because they've been given a second chance and maybe an opportunity they weren't expecting City, you'd expect them to be digging in more than ever as well, trying to eke out that one. So I'm doing that game as well at the weekend, and I'm looking forward to it, and I'll be having a few things crossed that Everton can do the biz.
Yeah, well, funny enough, I bumped into Derek Mountfield and Kevin Ratcliffe about 2 days ago when I asked them. I said, are Everton going to do us a favour? And they just both smiled and shook their heads. So I don't think there's any, I think in their minds, I don't think they think Everton are going to do us a favour. But you just said there, you don't think Man City, so we're going to slip up. Is that because they've done it before? Do you think the emphasis has now gone back to them? Because they were out of it last week, but now it's back in firmly in their hands. So do you think the experience is going to take them through?
Yeah, well, I think experience is the right word. If you've got experience of winning the league, you know, they know what it takes. They know what it takes to be in pressure games, to see it over the line, even though it was like the last moments of the game when he actually won, when he won the league. You'd always like to win the league, you know, he had the experience of doing that. So I think that's maybe something that you're seeing happen in the game against for Liverpool against Chelsea. There just seems to be that wobble. Like late on in the game, you could see there was not that kind of sure-footedness about them. You could kind of see it in the faces, really. Do you know what I mean? Maybe it's because you know the players just haven't been there before.
That's a good point.
And experience just counts for a lot in these situations. Sure.
Look, I was lucky enough to come into a Liverpool side that was full of experienced guys who'd done it before, and I got carried along with that. Kind of, you know, it was a real help. But and I think it's key. I mean, that word experience, having been in the situation before. But for this Liverpool team, I know there's kind of one or two. Kolo Touré's won one with Arsenal, right. and Glenn Johnson has won one with Chelsea. But for it to be new territory like that, you know, it's very hard. And we've seen in recent games. I mean, even in the City game, going 2-0 up, and then all the jitters set in. I mean, and it's something that, as well, I experienced. That Leeds a level down, you know. It got to us then. Whereas the Liverpool side I played in wasn't really a factor back then. But the Leeds side I played in, we had a decent lead. We nearly blew it. Not so much us. We felt pretty cool going out there. But the kind of anxiety and the desperation from the crowd to see us succeed and get back in the top flight again as it was, and on this occasion to see Liverpool win the title again when nobody was expecting it. That gets to the players, and we've seen that in games. Everybody gets a bit jittery, gets a bit nervy. And to be honest, and I know Dr. Steve Peters has been helping out as well, and but they kept on handling each one. But we knew Chelsea at the weekend was going to be the one because of what they did in Madrid as well against Atletico. We knew they were capable of doing that again. And while, you know, gutted for the players and Stevie G what happened, and I think you have to take your hat off to Chelsea because... They didn't go out to kind of impress anyone or be pretty. They went out with a job to do, a disciplined job, and I thought they did it wonderfully well.
I mean, you've touched on it there, and I mean, Liverpool there has been nerves. They look at the Sunderland game and then the second half at Manchester City, a little bit of a wobble. Norwich wasn't a great performance. Obviously, there was a change in personnel, but obviously Jordan Henderson starting his ban. But you touched on it there, the Chelsea game. When I look at it, I just thought Liverpool only needed the draw, but they looked like the team that had to go out and win the game, as if they desperately needed the 3 points. And I just felt after the first... Do you know what it was? As soon as I seen Ivanovic go back and take that free kick, when Swarter put it down first minute, and I thought, but he obviously can't be injured, Swarter, or he can't be with his kicking, and he's gone back. He's obviously time-wasting. Then Ashley Cole, 5 minutes later, dropping the ball and all that. I just felt if Brendan maybe... I'd thrown Agger on, maybe gone three at the back, and said, right, let's play them at their own game. You start rolling around, you start time-wasting, and just play out the game and take the points. That's how I felt. Yeah, just kill it. Do you feel he should have done that, or was it got his tactics wrong?
No, because, I mean, we've seen it all in the past when you need a result in the game and you kind of get a bit confused in your setup. Mm. I think sometimes the players can get mixed signals, you know. I think Liverpool had to kind of be true to themselves.
To the way they played all season. Can you win a title, Jim, playing the way Liverpool have all season? We've seen Barcelona do it, but they were an exceptional side. An exceptional side would obviously when Messi was at his absolute peak. Apart from that, you do need a plan B. Every other team's had a plan B. But Liverpool this season have played the same way, same philosophy, the same way. Can you win the league doing that? Can you?
Well, you know, they might well do it, obviously, based on, you know, we need another twist now for it to happen, but they might well do it. I think you probably can if you just continue outscoring. Mm. But I think when you look back on the weekend, as good as Chelsea played, I don't think Suarez was on top form. I thought they played him very well. I thought they got people around him very quickly when the ball looked like arriving to him, and they pinched it off him several times. But I don't think he was on his game. Sturridge, of course, came on, was injured. Sterling didn't have as strong a game as he's been having recently. And they kind of nullified, which is a considerable task to take on, because Liverpool have been awesome. But they nullified kind of the Liverpool threat. I think it's still doable. I think you can win the title playing like that. you know, they're very, very close if it doesn't work out, and I think there's a lot to build on. But obviously, there does need to be another way, and not necessarily just a plan B or having a big man in the box to throw the ball into. But you just need more resilience, more experience, players that can grind. Yeah. I mean, I think if you have enough of those characters, and I was lucky to play in a side that never kind of worried about that. And, you know, we could kill games too back in the day, and we did, because you could pass it back to the keeper, he could pick it up, and we wasted an awful lot of time doing stuff like that as well. So it's all part of the game.
That's the player's mentality, being able to do that, isn't it?
And maybe Liverpool were just caught a little naively on the day, but I think a combination of Chelsea just been very, very good and very disciplined, and Liverpool just been a little off the pace, you know, when the big one came round. And of course, the expectation, the pressure, the fervour, you know, the whole atmosphere you could sense was that there was kind of there was a tension.
Energy in there, wasn't
there was a nervous energy, and that ultimately, I think, can take a toll on a team too.
Do you think Mourinho's right to take all the criticism he's been taking since the game about the way he sets up, the way he plays, the tactics? Or was it not the tactics that were the problem? Was it the ungentlemanly attitude he had towards time wasting and diving?
I'll be honest with you, do I see it like it's a results game? And not to be cliched, I've heard people say if you know, they'd rather lose playing well than win playing ugly and stuff. You know, I remember one time just when I was playing youth games with Liverpool, and we played the game against Man United, and we kind of won the game, but we kind of nearly lost it. And then Steve Irwin come in, and he just hammered us. And he said, "Do you know the first thing that Ronnie Moran ever says when he phones me, he says what the result is? He just says, what score was it?" And then he said, "And afterwards, then you'll ask me how you played." And he said, "I'll tell him you played terrible, but he's actually won the game." Now, you know, I'd rather have a season of that than a season of kind of really play. And I know if you play well and you play to the way you design and the way you set up and that, and your ideas, if you believe in your ideas, that's how you think you're going to win games. I can understand that you're going to put that into plan. But at this stage of the season, 2-3 games left, it's just about results.
It's
just about results. And Reno went out
totally
there.
He
totally spoiled the game. But you know,
should the referee start booking players early on?
Well, possibly should have done. But you know, they'll probably just get another player to get on the ball and to waste time. So you know, it's not going to be a case of Chelsea going to finish the game with 8 players. It just wouldn't happen that way, you know. But he went out and he spoiled the game to get his results, and he got it. Now, who's, you know, at the end of the day, he walks out a winner, albeit like in a bit of an ugly way. But he got the points, and it's a shame as well, because like you said, it's definitely not over yet. But it's taken a bit of off Liverpool. It's put it in City's hands, and it's just a shame. Like, it's gone this far to kind of have a bit of a wobble now. And you know, like you said, Ivanovic going back to that free kick that early on, is that not a cue to say, well, do you know what? What do we want out of this game? This game today, we can't get beat. And for 90 minutes, if people are going to be walking out because of the games, it's not a spectacle. Fine.
They're setting up to win a game, isn't it? And they're setting up to not get beat.
Yeah.
And I felt Liverpool should have set up not to get beat
at the
weekend rather than go and win it. Did Brendan get sucked into Mourinho?
Honestly, I wouldn't agree with that, because I've seen it so many times before, whatever competition, Champions League, Europa League, whatever, and teams are saying, we're going to do this, we're going to do that second leg. And they don't. They go out. I mean, I always remember the classic example of that, again, Chelsea-Liverpool. When Chelsea had a 3-1 lead in the Champions League at Anfield, and then the second leg, they were saying, we know we're not going to play for a draw, we're not going to protect what we've got, we're going to go out and we're going to go at Liverpool. They didn't. They went out and did the opposite. And it was the 4-4 game in the end, Stamford Bridge. Remember, Liverpool went 2-0 up that night, and it was just looking great. Chelsea didn't know what they were doing. It took them about half an hour before they figured out, hang on a minute, this is all going belly up. So I think you should stick to your principles. And I think, you know, I mean, everybody's looking to blame now. It's kind of a blame culture we're in, or reason away what happened. Sometimes you just come up against, we were talking at the weekend about the irresistible force against the immovable object. Well, the immovable object really was immovable at the weekend. Mm-hmm. I honestly thought the detail they put into their work and the way they got behind the ball, Chelsea just made it unbelievably hard. There was nowhere to go in behind.
Is that what
there was
you're
nowhere
saying,
between the lines.
Is that what you're saying, the inexperience then of coming up against that is Sterling, is Sturridge, is not Sturridge, is Coutinho. That's the inexperience of them players then.
Maybe not necessarily inexperience in that case, because I think overall with the pressure that's been building, I think Liverpool cope pretty well.
Yeah.
I just think on the day they just underperformed.
Yeah.
I don't think they hit their top level. Chelsea made it very hard for them, but Liverpool needed to be at their very sharpest with what we've got up front,
yeah.
And I don't think that was the case. And so, I think ultimately that's what.
See, I think when we talk about because we've come up against these teams that come to Anfield and play like that. It was a lot when we were playing, wasn't it? I'm sure it was like when you were coming, when Anfield was a fortress. Teams would come in and basically they would take a point. So it was basically Liverpool having to break down the team that's put in front of them. When I looked at the game the other day, I just thought there was an impatience there. Maybe that's the inexperience of Sterling and Coutinho, in the sense of you've got to draw players out, haven't you? And you've got to keep the ball. And I just felt sometimes them two were getting on the ball and feeling, oh, we need a goal. We've got to do something. And they tried to force that pass when really it should have kept going from side to side, dragging people out, just waiting for someone to switch off. Maybe that's the inexperience we were talking about. Maybe that's the thing that they've got to learn and make something into the game, because they're going to come up against that a lot more, aren't they?
Yeah.
As Liverpool are more successful.
I mean, I remember, I think it was right at the end of the game, Sterling got in behind the kind of right side of the Chelsea defence, the cop end, and I can't remember that kind of situation having happened earlier in the match. I was just thinking, and Chelsea just didn't allow that. But you're right. I mean, I suppose partly down to inexperience, partly down to the fact that a little loss of form when you needed it most, and that sharpness, that bit of incision that you need to kind of to get through, you know, the two lines of Chelsea, it just wasn't there.
And I think as well, we're all analysing it now, but I mean, it was a mistake at the end of the day.
Yeah.
The worst thing Liverpool could have done against that Chelsea team on Sunday was concede a goal.
Yeah.
And it wasn't a great goal. It was a goal that was gifted, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Like Steven. It may have played out to a 0-0, mightn't it, if that mistake hadn't happened.
Yeah, could easily.
Of all the players, to me, that mistake, you're gutted. It was Steven Gerrard.
Devastated for him, nearly feel for him, do you know what I mean? Because he's been like the cornerstone of Liverpool for the past decade. Dragged him through season after season. Absolutely, you know, he was a world-class player. And for that to fall upon him is I felt sorry for him. Yeah, I actually thought, because I know Steven's like, he's really really quick, isn't he?
Yeah.
I thought when he got after him, I thought he could actually catch him.
Yeah,
he's got it within him to catch him. Do you know what I mean? And you see him, he just flogged himself to get there. But you know,
slip was the extra step that he was going to catch.
Yeah, slip was too short. But he's had Liverpool through and through, and it's such a shame, really.
I mean, you know him as well as anybody. I haven't played with him tonight. Is his character, will he be able to just shrug that off, or will it be something that he'll be devastated about?
Well, I should imagine he'd be devastated in that, but you know, today's a new day.
Is it up to him to show character now, being the captain?
Of course it is, yeah, and he will. You know, he's shown unbelievable character before, you know, not more so than the European Cup final, do you know what I mean? You know, he's a supreme player. Like, he'd walk into any team in the world, I should imagine. Character-wise, he's very, very strong. He's made a mistake. I'm sure come Saturday, he'll be thinking to himself, like you said, the players in the change room, they can't think it's over. He won't allow anybody to think that. You know, he's like kind of the general in there. So he'll be going out to win these two games, and hoping that there's another twist in the tail before the end of the season, and then that kind of character just gets you over the line.
It's funny, isn't it, Jim? The way Liverpool play, you would expect more of them mistakes, wouldn't you? The way that they played across the back and stuff. That's only the second mistake since Manchester United that they played across the back.
Well, you know, I think they've gotten better at doing that, because I remember earlier in the season, and the Southampton game, which we lost at Anfield, is the one that stands out as well from early, where Southampton decided to press Liverpool high that day.
Really, man,
knowing that they like to do that. Fullbacks push on, centre-backs split, and Stevie G, or Lucas as it was then, can just drop in. And they just went man for man and went very high. Mm. And so Mignolet became like the 11th outfield player, if you like. And he was expected to kind of do his bit on the ball. And there were some really hairy moments back then. Since then, I think they've developed it, and it's been pretty solid. But I think, every now and again, you will have a little issue with that, although no one was expecting what happened to Stevie G.
Yeah.
I mean, he knows the ball's coming in from Sacco. So if you actually watch it, he's kind of got his head up.
He's like,
and he's looking as if to say, well, where am I going to put this?
So
he's like taking pictures before, and he's taking his eye off the ball for just a second, let it run. And then when he realised, oh, I'm in trouble, Bar might be on it, that kind of attempt to recover caused another problem, didn't it, with the slip. And I thought Bar, when you look the way he finished it, I thought he'd gone through the keeper's. It did go through Mignolet's legs. But when you look back on it, he tried to actually just thread it outside his leg. And Mignolet moved his leg trying to read it and went past it, and it's gone through his. So I thought he got even a little bit lucky with the finish, Bar. But listen,
how'd you deal with that as a keeper? Centre forward, one on one.
I think the difficult thing for the keeper there as well, and probably for Bar as well, for everybody involved, he's got that much time to think about things. So I mean, he's running from the base to the halfway line. He's running, running. Then you're thinking to yourself, how far do I go? Like when do I go? You're probably just waiting for that. As he's taking the touch, the you know, Gerrard bearing down behind him, so there's a little bit of pressure on him. You're waiting for
the keeper. Are you thinking?
I'm
want Gerrard to make a tackle or get there, or
hopefully, yeah. If somebody can get there and kind of do your job for you, perfect. You know what I mean? You can put a challenge in on him, so it makes so he's got two things to think about.
Yeah.
You're probably thinking, I'm just want to try and get to the right point to meet him, and also waiting for that one time he has a little bit of a bad touch where he's touching and touching and it just comes in maybe a yard or half a yard a bit further, and then you can go. Do you know what I mean? And sometimes you don't even have to get right there to get the ball. You can just get to the point where you can't see the goal, and that can be like, you know, maybe a couple of yards in front of them.
And are you aware, Tony, as well, like if you're coming out in a situation like that, are you thinking, I've got to avoid red card here?
Like, yeah.
If he tries to kind of go around here, if he tries to do a little trick here, that's in your head
about. Yeah, it's definitely, you know, you've got to be quite concise what you're doing when you're going out there.
What's the textbook stuff? Make the goal as small as you can.
Pretty much, yeah. You know, try and stay as big as you can, as long as you can. Try not to make his mind up for him.
Yeah.
You know,
so make him have to do something
to beat you. Yeah. You know, because quite often you see kind of keepers, you know, they'll either come flying out, you know, they'll go down one side and that. He's done as well as he could do. Like you said, he got slightly fortunate there where he has tried to stick it down the outside and then his legs just moved out the way. How often have you seen it where he goes through and then he'll let him on a foot and go off and throw in, or Gerrard will sweep it up or something. And go, it was a good save or whatever, but it hasn't gone in the back of the net. It's difficult. I think you would ideally rather have it maybe where you've got a split second decision to make and you're out on them. But like a lot of times, you can see right, he's on his way, and you can literally just stand there for a second, because you don't want to. You can't go back. You can't be going out too far because he'll just lift it over you. So you're literally standing there,
waiting for the event.
Waiting for him to kind of come towards you. Then when he kind of comes into like a bit of a danger area, that's when you start progressing forward slightly, and then you know, how he's approaching the ball. Depends on how you go towards as well.
One-on-one wasn't really my thing, Tony, but I think if I went one-on-one with you, I think I might panic, because you're just a little bit intimidating, by the way. Even sitting across from me now, I think, hang on a minute, the size of him. But I remember Cup semi-final, White Hart Lane, 86, I got through one-on-one at the end,
right.
And it was Shilton in goal. And by the time I got in position, and he stood there was just nowhere to go. I couldn't even see the goal. He was huge. He just kind of made himself big. And I ended up just blasting it, hoping Power might do it, and he beat it away, you know.
You've got to just keep it low against Shilt. He goes down like the Duke Street Bridge, doesn't he? Double slow. Well, touching on Mignolet there, obviously your goalkeeper, how has he done for you this season?
So I think he's coming for a bit of unfair criticism. In what sense? I think I read something the other day, somebody was talking about the amount of goals he's conceded compared to, say, Chelsea, which is a fair amount more. Liverpool have been doing quite well this season, scoring goals. You know, they just score more than the other team.
Yeah.
That's
shades of our team, isn't it? Vulnerable at the back.
Yeah.
And scoring and easy on the eye going forward. Very much like us.
Yeah, I agree with you pretty much. It's all down to a goalkeeper. If he was that bad, he'd be out the side. So, you know, I don't think you can apportion all the blame to Mignolet. It's probably...
Are there things he can improve on?
Well,
he's made a few rash...
Dominating his box,
yeah.
I think. I mean, like all goalkeepers, we always say a good shot stopper, but I think that the test of a true goalkeeper, Tony, you might tell me I'm wrong here, is about how he commands his box. You know, does he have that authority?
Well, he has kind of been... a little bit unsure on him, like on some of my crosses and stuff, like, which you have seen, which you've been a little bit surprised about. You know, he's a.
Can you get bored? In the sense of like the team,
you can always get bored.
You know what I mean? Like the team has that much possession.
Well, Manuel Neuer. I mean, I've done a few Bayern Munich games this year. He gets bored because they have that much of the ball. They're spending that much in the final third. He does, and he gets involved in situations at times. But he doesn't need to. He comes like 30 yards off his line and starts getting and you think, what are you playing at?
Well, Jamie was the same.
Yeah, and it's exactly because of that, because he's. He's
I never said that really. Tommy told me to say that. I never really said that. Jim, I'll
give you
that. You've got to be careful these keepers, Jimbo, haven't you? The massive.
No, I agree with you. You know, like Liverpool have been kind of going forward a lot this season. So, you know, it's not really so much a case of getting bored. It's just kind of maybe.
Concentration.
You've got to keep your focus. And I think that's a sign of a goalkeeper as well. When you've been out the game for such a long time, coming in, bang, just doing that job that when it's asked of you. Whenever it is, you know, you can be out the game for 20 minutes, you can have a couple of back passes, laid the back out, and then, you know, there's like an onslaught.
How do you coach that? How do you coach keeping a concentration for the goalkeeper and then hoping he makes the right decisions when he's called upon? It must be so difficult, mustn't it?
You can't coach
concentration.
You can't
coach it, yeah. Mm. You can't.
Well, I think you can, like through psychology and stuff.
Right, OK.
Yeah, and like, you know, I used a psychologist for quite a few years. And
they should get into your head.
Hey?
I think to have gotten to your head.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
A bit messy at times.
Tears.
No, it was really useful. And it was really helpful. And he actually would make you feel really strong going into games.
How
does he do it?
Well, you would have... You kind of plan out your week, what you need to do, how you thought you had to be prepared for that game on Saturday, starting like 5.45. Sorry, 4.45, the Saturday before. There'd be a list of kind of how you slept, how you kicked, how you ate, stress levels, anything and everything really. To be honest, it's probably about 40 different things that you'd have to tick off, and then what you'd have to do is you'd have to plan out your weights, your kicking, your crossing, and you'd have to tick off, make sure you've done it. So when you go into the game on a Saturday, you think to yourself, there's no stone unturned. I've done everything I can possibly do to be ready for this game. And that in itself is empowering. You think to yourself, like, I can remember walking out in games, and I know in those games I could have played 3 or 4 hours in those games, and I wasn't conceding a goal. You just walk out feeling 10 foot tall. Do you know what I mean? And it's a mind game. It's like a bit of a tricky playing yourself, but it's a confidence thing. And when you have everything right, there's not more you can do. That's it. I've thrown everything at it. And things like that which can help you.
I think overall Mignolet has had a pretty good season. Mm. I think he's done pretty well, honestly. From the penalty save against Stoke on the opening day, you kind of forget all little things. Yeah, sure. I mean the save he made at the end when they really got the jitters at Norwich, made a save from Van Wolfswinkel, the header low down, and he grabbed it on the line, made a couple of good saves in the City game. Mm. To help Liverpool get over the, you know, you can go back lots.
I thought any keepers, you always look at the other stuff, don't you? You know,
exactly.
You forget.
I think so. It's like bad stuff. It's like a golfer. He might shoot 6 under par, but he'd have 3 bogeys, and he comes off the course thinking about that. You know,
and he gets asked in his interview. He gets asked about that, doesn't he?
Yeah.
What happened to 3 bogeys rather than the eagle?
Yeah, you can kind of focus a little on the negatives. I think he did get a bit nervy towards the end. But to be honest, I think most of the players would admit to feeling a bit of that. And I think for me, now and again, I'd like to see him more domineering. I'd like to see him when he's coming off his line. He got into one at Norwich, made a mistake, to help them back into the game, give him a bit of life. And I think the situations like that, he could be a bit stronger in. But again, I think, you know, when you're at a club of that size and the levels are up there, and they are again now, they're quite high again, sometimes it's hard to kind of to live up to that. And we've seen quite a few, both goalkeepers and outfield players over the years, struggle a little bit with that. Mm. I think overall he's coped with that. I think overall he's coped with that pretty well. Mm. But I just like to see him a little more dominant off his line, because I think when it comes to shot stopping, I think he does well.
Up there, isn't he? Yeah.
I think he's coming with some criticism about his footwork and his distribution a little bit as well. I think as well he's following probably one of the world's best. With Reina, he's like a cultured midfielder. Mm-hmm. Like I can remember seeing him. I was at Anfield and someone like smashing into him.
Reina.
Someone smashing into him like from a left back position, and it come bouncing, and he must have been 2 yards off his line, and it was on his wrong foot. I let it go across him and just smashed it with his laces out to either, I think like the right full back or to the right winger, and it was as good a pass as you'd have seen in the midfield in any Premier League game. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And he just smashed it with ease, and you're thinking like they know they got total 100% confidence in him. Any ball I can stick a bad ball at him, anyone, he will take care of it, deal with it, soak it up. And he's as good as anybody I've seen in goalkeeping wise, really, who can deal with that. Now to follow that, you're always going to be in that shadow, I think. And Mingile's kind of has been in the shadow somewhat, you know what I mean? I think that's probably a little bit unfair because he has been following someone who's quite special in that department of his game.
That's true, and sometimes I think it's been a bit unnecessary. I mentioned the Southampton game at home earlier in the season, and I think Liverpool were kind of advertising the fact that they were going to keep playing it through Mignolet, his feet, and just try to keep it alive. And they were almost inviting trouble. Mm. I think sometimes it can be overdone, and it doesn't help the goalkeeper in that regard. You know, sometimes just launch it.
Yeah.
You know, you just kind of, you know, because it's all off. You mentioned, Jason, Barcelona earlier. It's off the Barcelona model. Mm. It's off Victor Valdez was required under Guardiola back in the day. To do all that, to be involved and to take risks with little passes.
By the way, he's not a great keeper at shot stopping and that, but could play.
This
is part of what you're saying, isn't it? Part of that jigsaw.
That's about 10 saves a season.
That's true, yeah. You could have played in goal from.
I know, could have.
Because you can't pass.
Maybe missed my chance there, didn't I?
Damn. Well, obviously, it weren't a great night for Liverpool, and obviously, in particular, Luis Suarez, who didn't play well, but, well, great afternoon. But then in the night time, he probably didn't feel like going, Jim, but he had to go down to London and accept his award. Rightly so, play of the season. PFA player of the season.
Yeah, for me. Yeah. I
think, were you worried if he wasn't going to get it because of his character?
I was to a point, but in the end, I wasn't. As it was building and you were kind of wondering who's going to be in the kind of the six, who are going to be the six nominees and stuff like that. And you start to kind of think, well, is there somebody who... And then in the end, I thought, no, it's got to be Luis Suarez. And I think, you know, there's a lot that's gone into it. I mean, at the end of the day, it's obviously, you know, his performance is 30-odd goals. It's just been sublime. I mean, he has been sensationally good. He has been fantastic. And I think you've got to look back to thank the club last summer by kind of sticking to their guns. And when he was looking to get away, I thought the club, you know, deserved great credit for it. But I think him as well, and I think we've seen a mature version of Luis Suarez. You know, when you look back at a year ago, biting Ivanovic and Anfield and all that business, the ban, missing the start of the season as well, and to do what he's done, to miss five games, has been incredible too.
Five games without a goal as well, people forget that.
Yeah.
That's 10 games.
Yeah, so... Yeah, I just think that, you know, he's obviously sat back, had a good look at everything. The fact that he signed a new contract... and committed to the club without the guarantee of Champions League football, I thought said a lot. I think he appreciated what was being done for him and the support he actually had around him and sticking by him through some of his controversies. I think that was there. But I think he, as a person, I think has matured. And I think he saw the bigger picture. And I'm delighted he did sign to stay longer. And I'm delighted it went the way it did. And hopefully now, all round, whatever transpires this season... Liverpool are in a much better position for what's ahead and in terms of attracting people during the summer.
Sure. You were talking about psychology before, so that you used it. Obviously, he's been getting it as well. I think it was part of the rules on his ban, wasn't it? He had to get psychology. We assume it's with Dr. Steve Peters. Do you think that's really, really helped him as well?
Yeah,
seems to be able to deal with frustration a lot better, doesn't he?
It does, yeah. You know, it seems like he sort of had quite a short fuse.
Yeah.
It's probably been important now for Liverpool to have him on the pitch for every minute of every game, do you know what I mean? Or as often as possible, because, you know, you can't afford to be losing a player of his stature. Yeah. It's expensive business, isn't it? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Talking about like five games, Luis Suarez out the frame, you know, like for such an exceptional player. Playing for a team which is, I wouldn't say below par, but you know, is up playing with, you know, with the big fish as well. You know, like your big hitters and all that. You can't afford to have Luis Suarez not on the pitch. So it will have been very important for him to get himself sorted on an even keel to make sure he can perform on the pitch.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I think sometimes you say if you take the aggression out of players. Sometimes kind of they're not like after play they were, but you know there's a way to kind of control it and to channel it, and you know he's an aggressive player in the way that he actually plays on the pitch. You know he runs things down, he's direct. You know he'll run at anybody, won't he? Because he's got the ability, he's got the confidence to get through plays, and he just worries defenders. You can see them. Backing off the panic and
how to play against
it bubbles off his niche and gets through.
I've never seen probably the closest I've ever seen to anything like him was Peter Beardsley, because Peter Beardsley you do it in training where most strikers will try and keep the ball as far away from a defender as possible and then work their way whatever way they want to go. He turns into them so they can't sort their feet out. Incredible at nutmegs. I mean, like the sign at Anfield, Luis Suarez could nutmeg a mermaid which is brilliant. And he does, the amount of nutmegs he gets, and you know, the way he turns back in, and big defenders can't sort their feet out, and the way he's kind of in and about him, I just think is brilliant. It's something I've never seen before, not to that level.
Yeah.
And I think that's his real strength, with that kind of twisting and turning once he gets in the box, and he's almost unstoppable.
Obviously, the rumours have started already that, you know, Madrid could be backing for him. If there was a table, you obviously have to put him in Gareth Bale's bracket of transfer money now, which was what's 70, 80?
Yeah, he was up around 80, wasn't he?
80. If that was tabled, do Liverpool really need to turn that down? Is he the one player Liverpool just need to keep? As a club, as a brand as well, he's all part of that, isn't he? Do they need
to? I think they need to keep him.
I think so. For the moment, you've got to keep
him. Because you just replace him with? Do you mean like because you
it's
know
it's a gamble, isn't it?
Exactly, it's a gamble, and you've got the square peg that fits in the square hole here already. You go out and spend 60, 70 million on somebody else, mightn't like it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Just mightn't like the system.
Yeah. Listen, the SAS was the kind of crux of Liverpool's season in many ways. Or SAS, AS, because Sterling started playing some wonderful stuff. For me, he's the most improved player.
You could have SAS, AS, AC.
Or you get Skirtle involved,
and an S for
it's true.
SAS, AS, ACS.
No, but they're going to
sounds
be
like a carpet sale.
They're going to be the basis of the team, the foundation to the team again, because it's still going to be the Brendan Rodgers way next season. I mean, I know we're talking about more of a plan B, hopefully more experience, but that will be the way they'll play again. They'll just look to go at teams. That's what he does, and it will be the same again. Might be harder next season, but no, you need Luis Suarez. And that's another thing, I suppose, and something we should address, that will be, however the season turns out, as I say, it'll be hard, and that's the key. And over the years, Liverpool were always brilliant at forgetting a season, no matter how well you've done. If you've won trophies or whatever, it's gone. It's not there anymore. You've got to start afresh, and you've got to be as hungry and have the same appetite and go again. Brendan Rodgers got to get that out of his players again now too.
The other thing, Jim, I mean, I spoke to Ronnie and all though, and sort of the lads of your generation when you were winning things, and I said, you know, what happens the season after? And they basically said what you said, but in the sense of transfers, it's only one or two players come in, wasn't it? They didn't make a lot of players come in, you know, disrupt the dressing room or whatever. Only a couple of players come in. Now everyone's saying, oh, he needs to go out and buy, he needs to strengthen. I think we do. I think the bench suggests that we're under strength a little bit, but what's difficult is you can't just go out and buy anyone, because you just touched on it. Liverpool have a philosophy. You've got to buy players who fit into that philosophy, and there's not that many out there, is there?
But would you trust the manager now.
Would I?
In terms of what he's bringing in, what he's
buying. You've got to, because he's earned the right.
I would now. Yeah, I think he knows exactly what he wants.
Yeah.
I think he knows the type of character he needs to facilitate it now. I would. And he said back in the window in January that he needed one for each position. So he wanted a defender.
Yeah.
He wanted a midfielder. I think he wanted a wide man. And Konoplyanka, I think, the Ukrainian, is like, and he wanted a striker. So I think that will still stand. And maybe one other. Because remember, you're going into a Champions League campaign as well now. So you've got to have a much bigger squad.
Any names take your fancy?
Lallana.
Yeah.
Lallana. And the papers are reporting about the fact that he's willing to knock Man United back in favour of Liverpool. Because Liverpool, to him now, is a bigger attraction. I don't know, does his family have connections with the city as well? I don't know whether I heard that. Maybe I'm wrong on that. But so if that were the case, I think Lallana's been a sensation this season. I think he's every chance of going to the World Cup.
Where's he fit in the team?
That's the only thing, when you start. I think Lallana, now, with Liverpool, the current team, everyone at their best, Sterling, Coutinho, Suarez, Sterling, I think he starts on the bench. But listen.
It's so funny.
But listen, that's the way it is. But listen, if you want that kind of squad, you look at the Man City squad, you look at the Chelsea squad, and see who's sitting on the bench. That's just the way it is. When you want to chase the bigger stuff, then you've got to have a bigger squad, and people have just got to accept it. But I'd be.
And
right.
That's a secret, isn't it? A manager keeping everyone happy. Alex Ferguson, you know, he dealt it, didn't he? And we've seen Mourinho seems to have that.
Yeah, and it's about players being kind of realistic about the situation as well. I mean, some players can get a little impatient, get a little fed up, and start making mischief, causing trouble.
Yeah.
I mean, you want to be bringing in characters that are aware of, you know, what the bigger picture is, and they're happy to be part of something like that too.
Liverpool, Crystal Palace. What? Crystal Palace are on a great run, aren't they? What they got to do? Did he go there with the same temperament, the same philosophy, same?
I think they will. I think.
Is this the biggest game of the season, Jim?
Well, I'll tell you what. Here's one for you now, right? Manchester City went out at Crystal Palace on the back of Liverpool 0, Chelsea 2. How did City feel about that? Now, listen, if Everton can take points off Man City, you just kind of imagine now the mindset in the Liverpool dressing room. They're going to be absolutely buzzing. Because when it looked as if it was gone, it's all back on again.
Is it unfair that they're playing different days?
I think it's unavoidable. I think, it might seem so. I think it's like the same. When people were making the case of the weekend that Jose might say it was a weakened lineup at Liverpool, but didn't look weak in my eyes, and I think to most. And considering what he came up, I think, to be honest with you, the way any season evolves, we get this argument every season, the way any season evolves, you have to look after your own team. You have to kind of keep your own house in order. And if that's to the detriment of another team, then so be it. I believe that. Whatever way your season turns out, you have to go with that. And if it does affect another team, then it's unfortunate. I think it's just one of those things.
Have you done Palace recently?
I haven't done Palace. But I've watched, all the highlights and
what's he done?
He's
Tony Pulis, then.
Yeah, he's just created the intensity. He's got the players believing. It's not magical.
Science, yeah.
It's nothing, yeah. It's and Tony Pulis, like, he's all or nothing.
Yeah.
You've got to give him everything. He's that type of manager. You can't shirk. You got to give him a lot. But I think he's also benefited with the likes of Punchin.
Jerome,
who found a bit of flair and a bit of form. These guys have just kind of hit a great little patch. And so the usual kind of regimented, that kind of rigid system that he employs has also had a little bit of kind of flair added to it, and it's kind of taken them on another level again. And they are dangerous, Palace. Beatable? Yeah, they are. For Liverpool, of course they are. And I just hope Liverpool do go into that Monday night fixture on the back of good news from Goodison. on the Saturday before, and if that's the case, then it'll be kind of like Man City felt before they went out to play Palace, just full of beans and let us get at them. Yeah, we're back in it.
Just talking about Everton there, it is going to be difficult. They're missing Barry, aren't they? There's a couple of other players injured. Jagielka could be back though. Do you think there's a real possibility that Everton could take points? Goodison's been a bit of a force. They lost two there this season, haven't they?
Very good.
So it'd be very good. Do you think there's a real possibility?
Yeah, definitely. that when you kind of look at the fact that everyone's saying, you know, it's not over, you've got to have the belief and all that, it's an hard place to go to.
I'll tell you, let me rephrase that question. A lot of people are saying, oh, well, Everton won't do us a favour. But as professional footballers, that's not going to happen, is it? They're not going to go out and think, no. Oh, we're not going to play today, we're going to get beat. That's what? Not going to happen, is it?
No, just I'm, to put I'm, that I'm, record I actually said that, yeah, at the top, yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like, they're probably going to do no favours about Derek Mountfield and all that. But yeah, you know, when Jack Yalfa's out there, Tim Alden go, they don't want to get beat, you know what I mean? Like, they've got things to play for, do you know what I mean? Then to kind of like that, it just doesn't happen, does it? Mm. People just don't lie down for anybody these days. You just can't afford to. It's you know, professional pride, you know. It's going to be 100% effort from both teams.
Obviously. It's going to be a strange atmosphere because obviously the fans won't.
I think for the fans it will be.
Yeah.
For the players not. For the fans, you know, they may kind of
be split loyalty.
Yeah. Maybe if City. Score,
like you said, Jim,
it's not over at all. I mean, and listen, I keep saying it, it's been that kind of season from very early on when City and Chelsea were losing games on the road, and it's been really unpredictable. Mm. And some of the scorelines in some of the big games this season have been like,
you couldn't call
just
them,
ridiculous. Yeah. Ridiculous. And it's been that kind of season, it's been really unpredictable. And I'm praying that there's some more unpredictability, you know, ahead this weekend, and Liverpool are going to benefit from again another little turn.
We talk about unpredictable. Some people may have called it. We'll just finish off. We just finish off talking about general what's happening. Talk about unpredictable scorelines. What about last night? Did you see it coming, or did you? I actually seen a little bit of it coming, really, with Bayern not playing so well recently.
Yeah, but Bayern, since they won the Bundesliga, just seemed to kind of they've gone. The intensity seems to have just dropped. Yeah. And I think, considering the way they work as well, I think the same's happened with Borussia Dortmund. I know they've had their injury problems. Mm. But clubs that kind of play to that level and that kind of style of football, it's hard. Mm. And I think at the end of a season, it catches
tiring,
up a bit.
Isn't it?
Yeah. And the fact that they did win the Bundesliga, I think everything is just kind of relaxed a bit, yeah? I always fancied kind of Madrid on the break, but I must admit, I didn't see that coming from corners. I mean, to steal the two goals on corners, it was over then, wasn't it? And I mean, Bayern have imploded, really.
Well, just talking about unpredictability and strange things happening in football, Guardiola is coming for a bit of pressure. In fact, Beckenbauer, probably 3 or 4 months ago, had a little popper him saying, this is not, before they won the Bundesliga, saying this is not how Bayern play. Mm. He was really unsure about the way the team was progressing from it, taking over from Holness. Do you know the question I'm going to ask?
Go on.
do you think we could see him at Man United? Pep Guardiola.
No, not this soon.
No.
Maybe down the line. I'd be very surprised.
They want him.
Listen, you know people are giving Guardiola a bit of flack now.
Yeah.
He's won the Bundesliga in record time. Your pink is
broke
the year
all
before.
Kind of records, hasn't he? Yeah.
Broke all kind of records, and he's gone better again.
Yeah.
So how all of a sudden can you start coming?
Well,
his out
Champions
and saying,
League failure.
Well, that's true. That's a big thing for him as well. And still, no club is going to defend their Champions League crown either, which is amazing. Listen, it could happen. Last season, Dortmund and Bayern beat Real Madrid and Barcelona, respectively. So everyone was hailing German football. Yeah. But, in a year now...
We could be seeing an all-Spanish final.
Well, you could be seeing an all-Spanish... That's just the way the game goes. Yeah. I mean, we're talking about this exact science. I think people kind of scrutinise it a bit, examine it forensically at times. Yeah. It happens in football. It can happen. Real Madrid can do that to anybody in the world on the break.
Yeah.
They can. They're devastating on the break. Best counter-attacking team. One of the best you've ever seen, ever. Yeah. You know, the power they've got with Bale and Ronaldo on the break and Benzema. It's frightening. But as I say, Bayern just got done from two corners. Mm. They just, zonal marking, not picking runners up, and they just got caught.
Do you like zonal marking as a goalkeeper?
No, not really.
Is that because you can blame someone if the man's a man? You can go like, it was you, Jim. Your man, Jim.
I didn't think the blame was me. I just think it's something that needs to be. I think if it's really practiced and drilled well, it can kind of work. But
for me, I
just think it gives too much opportunities for people to have runs on you and stuff.
Which you're seeing last night.
Yeah, and plus as well for kind of a little bit of indecision.
Yeah.
Like, is it mine? Is it not? And then kind of people decide it's not theirs. And then people just have like clear headers and opportunities. You know, I just feel like if you with your man, you've always got an opportunity to put him off, knock him off back, affect him, do you know what I mean? That's just me personally, trying to shit.
What do you think of Giggsy? Giggsy take going in at Man United, is it too soon for him to get the job?
It was probably too soon to get the job long term, yeah. But I should imagine he'll be there or thereabouts in the future. Yeah. Obviously the season's kind of finished for him now, so it's probably just a good benefit for him. Yeah. Just be having that
Who do you think could come in then?
Never talk about Van Gaal, aren't
they? Yeah. Is it more he wants it than maybe the club want it? Because he wanted Tottenham a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, well, one of the big newspapers in Holland were reporting that, he's spoken to them about it and he's agreed a contract. Whether that's true or not, we'll have to wait and see. But I was at Old Trafford on Saturday and I think the one thing he brought back was...
Did it feel like there was a bit of fresh air in the air?
What was it? Russ Abbott sang, "I love a party with a happy atmosphere." That's what it was like. Yeah. Sorry, it's not happy a big election, but you know. No, but there was a real, because I've done many games there this season, and some of their defeats to Liverpool, to Man City, to Newcastle, to Tottenham, and it's been a real kind of downer for Man United fans. It's been very hard for them. They've struggled at home, and he just brought he brought happiness back to the whole place. Okay. He did. I mean, they weren't great in the first half.
Yeah,
they struggled. They laboured a bit. Got the goal before half time. Another quick one after, and then it opened up. And it did look like the Man United of old, one of Fergie's teams, playing with a bit of flair and fluency.
Is it Fergie's team?
Well, yeah. I mean, he went back to all the old guard as well, didn't he? And you know, Ferdinand and Vidic were installed, and he even left Matt out. He went back to the people he trusts. But if he has a whopping finish, I mean, 4-0 was a great start. If he has that kind of comfortable victory in the three games he's got to come, and they might even consider throwing him in, but I think ideally, as you said, Tony, they're probably looking at him being nurtured along under a bigger name, aren't they, for a couple of years before he could maybe then step into the role. But I see him definitely as being a Man United manager at some stage down the line. Yeah.
Last question I've got to ask you tonight: Champions League second leg, are Chelsea going to do it, or do you think Atletico have got enough? Costa's fit, isn't he? He plays.
Yeah, he is. Do you know what? It's going to be the opposite to what Chelsea were doing.
Yeah, that's
Chelsea
why I asked the question.
Chelsea are going to find out now how difficult it is to, because
it's going to be
Atletico
them,
Madrid can set up like that as well. Yeah. They've been doing it. They're a grinding team. Yeah. I'm a bit twisted on this. I'm kind of thinking Atletico, could pull it off, but I think ultimately I'll have to go. I think Chelsea are going to squeeze home
because they're at home.
Yeah, and I think they're going to squeeze through to another final. I think they'll find a way of breaking them down.
I'm going to go Atletico. I think it'd be a better final as well.
Yeah, well, old Spanish affair, it certainly would have been. And Atletico, I mean, they've beaten Real in a derby as well this season.
Yeah.
Well, we want a Champions League final where that's up in the air a little bit, don't we?
We don't want anything
too predictable.
Lads, thanks very much for your time. It's been really interesting and great to hear your views as well. Take care.
Cheers.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.